Let's read together 1 Chronicles chapter 16. In this chapter, we read of the great time of praise and worship of the Lord that took place in Jerusalem now that the Ark of the Covenant had been placed in the special tent that David had prepared for it. Let's begin by reading the first three verses. So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, with some background notes. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, we read of the great celebration that took place as the Ark of the Covenant was brought up to Jerusalem. Now in verse 1 of chapter 16, we see that the ark was placed in the special tent that David had prepared for it, and burnt offerings and peace offerings were presented to the Lord. Remember, this tent was not the tabernacle. The tabernacle with its furnishings, including the bronze altar, was at this time in Gibeon, about 6 miles northwest of Jerusalem. The fact that 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 27 says that David was wearing a linen ephod when they brought the Ark of the Covenant up to its tent in Jerusalem does not mean that David himself was conducting the sacrifices either along the way or here in the first two verses of chapter 16. No, even little Samuel wore a linen ephod as a child, according to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18. And we see here in 1 Chronicles chapters 15 and 16 that David had many priests present to do the actual sacrificing of the animals. Here in chapter 16, we see that there was now a great time of praise and worship in Jerusalem. Even David's personal gift to everyone of bread and meat and a raisin cake as tokens of God's blessing on the land promoted a spirit of praise and worship among the people. And so as we read this chapter, we find some important lessons about worship. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this chapter. So doctrinal point number one, worship of the Lord should include praise. Worship of the Lord should include praise. Verses 4 through 7. And David appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. And now in verse 5, we have the names of those who played stringed instruments and harps. The end of verse 5. But Asaph made music with cymbals. Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priests, regularly blew the trumpets before the Ark of the Covenant of God. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. David didn't just hope that praise and worship happened. He made sure it happened. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Verse 4. And David made sure that music was included, because as we saw back in verse 16 of chapter 15, music to the Lord results in raising the voice of the people with resounding joy and praise to the Lord. Look once again at chapter 15 and verse 16. Then David spoke to the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers accompanied by instruments of music, stringed instruments, harps, and cymbals, by raising the voice with resounding joy. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 16. Singing praise songs with joy, along with music, results in praise to the Lord and God is worshiped. So it's good to structure a worship service with praise songs that are sung along with instrumental music, because the joyful praise results in true worship of the Lord. Questions concerning hymn books or overheads or PowerPoint, how many drums and guitars to use or not use, whether or not to include loud-sounding cymbals like David's praise band, or just go with piano or organ, are questions that different fellowships can answer for themselves. The bottom line is to go with whatever program promotes joyful praise to the Lord from most of the congregation, because joyful praise is part of worship, and it promotes worship of the Lord. Worship of the Lord should include praise. Doctrinal point number two, worship of the Lord should have content. Worship of the Lord should have content. Verses 8 through 36. Now we see in these verses that this hymn of thanksgiving sung by the people on this occasion was a medley of several psalms composed earlier, probably by David himself. Verses 8 through 22 are from Psalm 105. Verses 23 through 33 are from Psalm 96, and verses 34 through 36 are from Psalm 106. The point here is that the people in their praise and worship did not just sing hallelujahs over and over again repetitively, but they sang a hymn of praise filled with content. In verses 8 through 14, they praised God for his works and his wonders and marvels, and even for his judgments. Let's read those verses. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Verses 8 through 14. In verses 15 through 19, they praise the Lord for his covenant with them as his people, including his promise of the land. Verses 15 through 19. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as an allotment of your inheritance, when you were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. Verses 15 through 19. In verses 20 through 22, the people praise God for his constant protection, even when they wandered. Let's read those verses. When they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Verses 20 through 22. In verses 23 through 29, they praise God for his glory and majesty and supremacy above all other gods. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Verses 23 through 29. Now in verses 30 through 33, the people praise the Lord for the fact that he is in sovereign control over all of the earth and its inhabitants. Let's read those verses. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar, and all its fullness. Let the field rejoice, and all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Verses 30 through 33. And now in verses 34 through 36, the people praise the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and deliverance and salvation. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. Verses 34 through 36. You can see that this hymn of praise is filled with theology. No wonder worship was the result. The same should be true of our worship today. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 23 that true worship is in spirit and in truth. Worship of the Lord should have content. And doctrinal point number three, worship of the Lord should be continual. Worship of the Lord should be continual. Verses 37 through 43. So David left Asaph and his brothers there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister before the Ark regularly or continually, as every day's work required. And Obed-Edom, with his 68 brethren, including Obed-Edom, the son of Jeduthun, and Hosa, to be gatekeepers. And Zadok the priest and his brethren the priests, before the tabernacle of the Lord at the high place that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offering regularly or continually, morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord which he commanded Israel. And with them, Heman and Jeduthun, and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endures forever. And with them, Heman and Jeduthun, to sound aloud the trumpets and cymbals and the musical instruments of God. Now the sons of Jeduthun were gatekeepers. Then all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house. Notice from verses 37 and 40 that the worship of the Lord was continual, both at Jerusalem, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and at Gibeon, where the tabernacle and bronze altar were. David put Zadok, the priest, in charge of the worship at Gibeon. Here, burnt offerings were sacrificed every morning and every evening, according to the law of the Lord. There was continual worship. Certainly a lesson for us. Do we have continual worship in our lives? Or do we only worship on Sunday? Do we have regular quiet times with the Lord each day? Every day? Or do we skip sometimes because of pressing responsibilities? What about family worship? Do we have family devotions every day? Or are we too busy to even get the family together for prayer each day? King David made sure that Israel's worship of the Lord was regular and continual, and we should do the same. It's not easy, and it's not automatic. It takes dedication and sacrifice, but God will be honored and glorified. Worship of the Lord should be continual. And that brings us to our practical application for this chapter. Have a good definition of worship. Have a good definition of worship. Now, we've been talking a lot about worship in this chapter. What is worship? Do you have a good definition of worship? Worship is not defined by feelings, and neither is it limited to some formal liturgical service. Here's a good, concise, working definition of worship. Acknowledging who God is and what God does to God himself with reverence and love and joy. So worship of the Lord is quite broad in its scope. Even Christian service involves worship. I trust that this working definition of worship will be helpful to you when you're wondering if you truly worship the Lord. Have a good definition of worship.